got that right. It is the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. What's going on? That's right. Ooh.
That's right.
That's funny you bring that up, Alvin. That will be a topic later on. Welcome to the program. What's up? We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket can. All right, good Thursday program. Let's get this thing going. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. As I always say, if you are watching on CBS Sports Network, there is your guest lineup, and now it's gone. It was there a minute ago. I know because I'm looking at my program monitor. 1-800-636-8686. You may or may not know this, but for several years now, this show has been a simulcast. We are on the radio. We are on TV both. We are on terrestrial. We are on satellite. We are everywhere. Nice to have you here. All right, you got your telephone number. If you want to participate via social, do that at Jim Rome. Hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Go to my Instagram feed at Jim Rome. Or email me directly. We still do that. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the interview is due set up like this. Coming up next segment, one of my favorite guys, Nate McMillan, class act. Atlanta Hawks interim head coach joins us. That's coming up next. Coming up at the top of hour number two, the head football coach at Indiana, Tom Allen. At the end of hour number three, a college football reporter with Fox Sports, Bruce Feldman. I want to reset episode 171 of the Jim Rome podcast, which is live. Do not listen to it just yet. Wait until after the program, but I'll get you started, and I want to reset that. Doug Ellen smashed it as my guest. He is the creator of Entourage, the TV show. So, all of that and your telephone calls. We did give away a golden ticket yesterday. I do not have a date yet for the smack-off, only that I know that it is going to happen. CJ in the Bay ripped a golden ticket yesterday. Nothing would make me happier than to go back-to-back. All right, let's get started. 1-800-636-8686. Let me start with the Yankees. How about that? Dodger Jim starting with the Yankees. SoCal Rome going back-to-back with New York takes on this program. Yesterday, the Knicks.
You sound like a homer.
Today, the Yankees. So the Yankees lose to Atlanta last night, 4-1. They're now 6-11 on the year. I don't know about you. Right about now, I'm thinking the Yankees suck. That's what I'm thinking. They're not good.
Not good.
They're not good. They're below not good.
Below not good.
They are lose six of your last seven. Not good. They are tied for the worst record in the American League. Not good. They're off to the worst start in 30 years. Not good.
Not good.
Kind of an upside-down world are we living in where the New York Knicks are pure electricity and the New York Yankees are complete hacks. Again, these are the New York Yankees we're talking about. The Bronx Bombers, the guys in pinstripes, and they are garbage. Right now. Literally everything is off about this team right now. They've got all this talent, and they're doing absolutely nothing with it. And this is not a new thing either. If we go back to last week, when they lost to Tampa Bay Friday, fans were so embarrassed by what they were seeing, they started to fire baseballs onto the field in disgust.
Timeout, call.
Yeah, I guess we'll get a little baseball thrown onto the field. And let's see. Well, now, Jerry Lane, concerned about what's going on out there in left field with a number of those objects being thrown onto the field.
Boy, that is just clownish.
Those objects that are being thrown onto the field. Quote, that is just clownish. It's a great line. And it's right. That was just clownish by the fans. You can't ever throw crap onto the field, even if what you're seeing on the field is crap.
Clownish.
You cannot throw crap at crap. But you could see where they'd want to do so, right? And when they're not throwing crap on the field, they're booing the hell out of the hometown slugs. That's how bad the Yankees are right now. That's how bad the entire Yankee experience is right now. Most fans who go to games today are so pumped just to be there, just excited and relieved to be able to attend a sporting event in person once again. Do you have any idea how bad you have to be during this time to have fans throwing crap and booing you? And it's happening to the Yankees on the regular. And they deserve it. They're 6-11. They've got the worst offense in the American League. They've got the lowest slugging percentage in the major leagues. As a team, they're hitting 163 in their last seven games. I mean, it's so bad that last night Atlanta didn't even have their best player available. They had only four hits, and they still won. Not only won, but won easily. Atlanta had four hits, and they were never in any danger of losing that game at all. Even though he probably should be, Yankees manager Aaron Boone is not panicking. He knows the talent that exists on that roster, or at least the talent that should exist on that roster.
You know, I know we're walking out there with heavy artillery each and every night. We just got to unlock it right now, and we will.
Yeah, I see it working. Skip. Kinda. Except right now that heavy artillery is blasting its own feet and faces right off. Then again, Boone cannot hit for them. And right now, they can't hit at all. In fact, they can't hit, they can't pitch, and they're really not that good defensively either. Other than that, they're a pretty damn good baseball team. They just can't hit, or pitch, or catch the ball. Overlook all of that, and you've got yourself a pretty solid crew. And yes, I'm well aware that you can turn a season around after a bad April. I am well aware that the 97 Yankees started 5-10, and then they went on to finish with 99 wins. I'm also well aware that nobody's going to run away and hide in the AL East at this point. As bad as the Yankees have been, and they've been crap, they're only five games out of first. So it is doable, theoretically, if they get their asses in gear, and they need to do it right now. Like last night, they fell behind 2-0. And that nightly boat race was on. And like most nights, it felt like they had no life, no energy, no juice for that team at all. Then again, for good reason, because they've scored 3 runs or less in 11 to 17 games this year. Man, that's so bad. That is so bad, you almost have to tip your cap to them. What happened to these so-called savages in the box? Remember this rant from Aaron Boone back in the day?
Get out, Aaron!
Remember that. Remember that. When they were bleeping savages. My guys are savages in that box. Yeah, that was then. This is now. Then they were savages. Now they're just slugs. Stiffs. And when they're getting out of the box, it's not like they're tearing down the baseline either. You check out Gleyber Torres with that check swing tapper in front of the plate last night. He jogged to first. Yeah, I know. 999 times out of 1,000, that's an out. But when you're that bad especially, maybe you run out every single contact. That's taught to you from the moment they put a bat in your hands. Failing to do that is letting the game down. It's letting your team down. And if there's a certain red-ass reliever in your dugout, it could get you strangled. You know, like Jonathan Papelbon deciding to take the law in Bryce Harper's throat into his own hands back in the day.
And Bryce Harper will hit it in the air to left. Jeff Francoeur, after switching over, makes that catch. There is something going on in the dugout.
See, Papelbon saying, run the ball out. And Bryce saying, you got to be kidding me. And then Papelbon went right after Harper. It's getting ugly, folks. There's no other way to put it. I mean, you can read his lips. He told him, you got to run that ball out. And Bryce Harper said, are you kidding me? That's not good. Unbelievable.
And turmoil in the dugout.
That stuff happens throughout the course of the season. But
with Bryce Harper,
not often enough.
Nose-to-nose with Jonathan Papelbon.
Quote, that stuff happens over the course of a season. Not often enough. I love, oh, it's getting ugly in here. No, it's getting awesome in here. You have a reliever choking a franchise player in the dugout. Find me something better in the history of sports than that. Can I repeat that? You had a reliever in the dugout choking a franchise player for not running a ball out or not hustling. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't think that Kenley Jansen is ever going to wrap up on Mookie Betts in the Dodger dugout. Anyway, Darren O'Day did not choke out Torres when he got back to the dugout. Not as far as I can tell. Boone, though, sounded like he at least thought about it, telling the media that he would be talking to Torres about that and more.
I think anytime you got that kind of situation where a guy's got to get off the mound, you got to get after it. I mean, that's got to be a little bit better, obviously.
Obviously. As for Torres himself, like, dude, what are you thinking, man? You're a major leaguer. What do you have to say for yourself?
It was a check swing, and in that moment, I don't know if it was fair or foul. I don't see the ball really well, and I feel like I start running late, but I feel like I can put a little bit more effort run to the first base.
I'd have to agree with you, G. You could put in a little more effort in running to first base. In fact, I would say that you couldn't put in any less effort into running into first base. Hey, listen, I know it's frustrating when everybody is slumping at the exact same time, but hustling is one way to get out of a slump. Do not send me your Mark Grace resets. It's 2021, all right? It's not 1997. Turn the page. Turn the decade. Turn the quarter century. Anyway, you might want to hustle. It's a good way to bust out of a slump, especially when you're only down by 3 runs at home. Now, I'm not going to be one of those lava artists that comes in here and says the Yankee season is over before the month of April is over. I know how these things can turn and that the Yankees do actually have some heavy artillery in that lineup. The group that was in the top four in runs scored each of the last 4 years did not just forget how to hit. I know this. But they are gripping hard, and they're turning their bats into sawdust right now. And if they're going to turn this thing around this year, they better do it soon. Because while it is a long season, it can get pretty late, pretty early, if you're sucking the way they're sucking right now. The only thing keeping me from burying these dudes right now is that I did try to do it back in the day. And no less an authority than Yankees superfan Adam Sandler came on this show and he jumped my bleep for doing so.
Man, the Yankees, what do you think about that, Tim?
They're dead. They're done.
What do you mean they're dead? It's 9 now.
He set me up for that, didn't he? My man set me up for that. I know this. What up, Adam? I know this. Looking up at the Jays and the Orioles, you know old man George Steinbrenner is just turning in that pine box. You know he is. A Yankee fan, I got to be fair and balanced, right? Check that. New York fan, I need to be fair and balanced. The Knicks get love. The Yankees get buried. The Knicks are electric. The Yankees are stiffs. That's how they're playing right now. 1-800-636-8686. Look at SoCal Rome just leading the show with New York sports every day. All right, other things I want to get to. I definitely want to talk about my podcast. I need to talk about it. I'm really happy with it. EP171, do not listen to it right now. I will give you a taste and a preview. Doug Ellen showing up, speaking of New York. Brooklyn, through and through. Grew up on the island. Has the energy, the swagger, the attitude. Worth the wait. I've been wanting to talk to Doug for a long time. I want to talk some NFL. Quick. Pop quiz. Who was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? You got to think about that, right? Nick Sirianni. Exactly. Remember how he showed up at his opening presser? Not very well. Hate to bury a guy based on one opening presser. He was back at it again yesterday, and not in a good way. I will have that. Oh, man. I love the fight this Saturday night. A fister. One of the ultimate fisters, UFC 261, and. Before you come up in here and say, great, Rome, got to suffer through more MMA talk, suffer through more UFC talk. First of all, yes. Yes, you do. And second of all, it's more to it, and there's more to this particular fight and this take than just MMA talk. Jorge Masvidal, one of the most compelling figures in any sport, is a part of that take. One more baseball note. You want to talk about compelling. How about the A's? The A's roll out 0-6. Again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But 0-6 is pretty bad. Really bad. And it's not just that they were losing. It's how they were losing. And now look at them. Best team in the AL. And I'll get there, too. Before I go to break, quickly, Stucknuts in. Quote, "It's 9 now!" Signed, Alvy working his 9th straight day.
Man, the Yankees, what do you think about that, Tim?
They're dead. They're done.
What do you mean they're dead? It's 9 now!
Here you go. Nice job, Nut. My man, Jamie in Green Bay, has already heard Doug Ellen. Hey, Rome, listen to the Doug Ellen podcast episode this morning. That was one of my favorite guests in a long time, and Entourage is one of my favorite shows of all time. Doug has some great insights. I love the Eli story, and I also like how we got to the bottom of the Rex Lee interview back in the day. Thank you for getting him on the pod. Victory! Jamie in Green Bay, it's Victory! Really good. It's a really good pod. Sure, Rome, you say that about all your pods. Well, yes. This one, though, is next level. 1-800-636-8686. Get up in here when we come back. Nate McMillan, class act. Eager to get caught up with Nate. That's next segment. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs and your lawn and garden batteries as well. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals. On lawn and garden batteries both. Also, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. And for a limited time, you can purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Do not miss out on the savings at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people that you know you can trust. O'Reilly Auto Parts is here with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program, too. Like, there's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back out quickly on a Thursday. What's going on in Southern California? I'm Jim Rome. As promised, we are joined right now by the Atlanta Hawks interim head coach. He was named head coach on March 1st, Eastern Conference Coach of the Month for the month of March. Also led Indiana to the playoffs all 4 years that he was head coach there. 20th all-time in NBA wins as a head coach. A member of USA Basketball Coaching. He was on the staff in 08 and 2012 for the Olympics. And Atlanta is in first place in the Southeast. They are hosting Miami tomorrow. We are joined by Nate McMillan. Nate, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Nate?
I'm doing good, Jim. How are you, man?
Good, good. Good to visit with you. Nate, let me start first with the tricky stuff. Trae Young went down last night with an injury against the Knicks. Can I get your reaction when you saw that, and what is the latest on his status?
Just shock, you know. He was going in for an attempt at the basket in the paint and landed on someone's foot, and it just looked really bad. When it first happened, but once we got in the locker room, he didn't have a lot of swelling. X-rays were negative, and he's going to get an MRI today. And just crossing our fingers that that will come up negative as well. But just a shock with all the injuries that we've had. This season, we're in a huge race right now to finish this season. And, New York was a half a game behind us last night. It was a big game for us. And to lose him, in that situation when we felt like we had control of that game, was a big loss last night.
We're talking to Nate McMillan. I appreciate your thoughts on that, Nate. In fact, let me ask you, because you did have an injury, or I should say you had a lead when he got hurt, and then the team just kept battling and kept grinding. Bogdanovich had a three to tie it and send the game into overtime. Obviously, you want to win that game. I know this. But what did your team show you in the way that it battled on without Young?
There's no quit in these guys. You know, Clint Capella also went down in that game, late in that game. You know, just really felt he went was going up for a shot, was kind of undercut and fell flat on his back, and had some spasms during that game. We didn't know if he would be able to finish. You know, he sucked it up and had to finish that game. You know, we had a number of guys who, you know, Brandon Goodwin had to come in and replace Trey. So, you know, we have a lot of guys with a lot of tweaks. And, you know, coming off a back-to-back, both us and New York were coming off back-to-back games. So just really a grueling, a grinding game. And, you know, to see the guys just, you know, try to stay with it, continue to fight. You know, when we lost Trey, they continued to fight. We continued to make plays and gave ourselves a chance to, you know, get the game into overtime, but we just didn't have enough in overtime to finish.
Nate McMillan joining us once again. You know, Nate, when you came to Atlanta to be Lloyd Pierce's assistant, you were very clear that you were not there to look over his shoulder. You were there to help him and assist him. I've always enjoyed my time with Lloyd. So I'm curious, what was it like for you when the team decided to move on from him and name you as the interim?
It was tough. You know, Lloyd and I talked about, you know, this situation before I even came down. You know, when he came up to visit with me and to have a conversation about coming down and being an assistant, and really my role was to assist the staff, you know, the assistant coaches as well as Lloyd. And, you know, one of the things I talked to him about, you know, if because he was trying to take his team to the next level. You know, I've been in this situation before where you are trying to, you know, get your team into the playoffs. He has a young roster. The organization was going to make changes this season, and they did. You know, they brought in veterans to help the team take the next step, brought in Rondo, Gallinari, Bogdanovich, a lot of veterans to help a young roster take the next step. So we talked about, you know, if things didn't go well, you know, if you drop 3, 4, 5 games in a row, you know, the media is going to start talking about that type of situation where you're replacing. And, you know, he was totally confident that he wasn't concerned about that. And, you know, so agreed to come down with him. You know, he's very impressive. You know, that's the reason that I came down to be on his staff, you know, to work with him. He sold me on his plan and, you know, what he was trying to do. And I felt that, you know, at that time, you know, I wanted to try to make that role work, which was to assist the coaches as well as Lloyd. And it just didn't work out that way. So when everything went down, it was really tough to step in and fill in for him, because as I told him and everyone else, that that's not what I came down for, came down here for. He gave me pretty much his blessings to, look, I think you should take it over, you know, move forward with the group, and made the decision to do that, and here we are.
I was going to say, Nate, I'm not at all surprised to hear you lay it out like that. I'm not surprised to hear that that's how he handled it, or that that's how you handled it, as challenging as that could be. And I'm curious, the team, even despite the injuries, the team has played great ball since you took over, and the record shows that. You're the Eastern Conference Coach of the Month for March. You're in the hunt for a divisional title right now. I get, Nate, that you're focused on the very next game, but does this feel like a group that you would want to keep coaching for years to come?
Well, my plan was to just, you know, talk with management and the organization, and, you know, nothing has been offered. I haven't asked for anything. They haven't offered anything. You know, the plan is to finish the season and to get into the playoffs. They basically want really to win games, and, you know, that was the goal and the plan from the beginning of the season. So, you know, that's pretty much where my mind is at, you know, trying to win games and trying to get this team this organization into the playoffs. You know, at the end of the season, we'll see what happens.
Talking to Nate McMillan. Nate, go back to Trey for a minute, if you would. Like, you had seen him from afar, and you had coached against him before you arrived in Atlanta. What do you know about him and his game now that maybe you did not know before, and what's it been like to coach him?
He's a very talented player. You know, he's like, you know, most of these number one options on a team. You know, when I coached against him, you certainly planned for him, and, you know, things you tried to do was, you know, do you take the ball out of his hands? You had to trap him. You really had to disrupt his rhythm, because he pretty much was the head of the snake. And, you know, since being here, he's definitely that guy. You know, he's the guy for us. He's the guy who establishes our tempo and who creates a lot of offense, not only for himself, but for the team. And, you know, what I'm learning is he's a young guard that's learning to establish himself in this league and to take that next step far as establishing yourself and winning. Okay, that's two different things, you know, because there are things that you have to adjust to, you have to adapt to, and you have to continue to find ways to be productive in order to give yourself a chance to win games. And, you know, those are things that he's going through. He's seeing the defense really basically try to take him out. He's seeing bigger defenders. He's seeing traps. He has seen many times box and one defenses. So all of those things he's seeing a lot, I think, a lot for the first time. He has to still find ways to be productive and win ball games, and you know, late in the game, managing that fourth quarter and putting your team in a position to win games. Those are things that he's going through. I've seen some growth. He has to continue to grow in that area.
Nate McMillan joining us. And Nate, one last thought. You know, when you talk about how this is all part of his maturity, his growth, his evolution, go back to when you were a young coach. For instance, when you took over in Seattle, you received letters from Lenny Wilkins and Mike Fratello, two of my favorite guys. I used to love talking to both of them. They told you, be yourself and coach what you know. What did it mean at that time for you to hear from those two legends? And why is that simple message so critical?
Well, it's the same thing that I, you know, those were the words that I gave, you know, to Lloyd. You know, you got to be yourself, and you got to coach what you know. You know, I'll come down and certainly try to help you, but your team will figure that out. You know, if you're trying to be someone else or do something or teach something that you don't know, that your team will figure that out, and they won't buy into it. They won't buy into what you are trying to create. You know, so that was something that I got from Coach Fratello and Lenny Wilkins, and that's what I've done. You know, I've basically tried to take from really all the coaches that I played for. You know, even, you know, you can go as far back as my high school coaches and junior college coaches and Coach Favano and my NBA coaches, and basically, I think I've taken a little bit from all of those guys, and even guys that I've worked with, you know, during my time, my assistant coaches, and you know, coaching with the Olympic team, Coach K and Coach Boeheim and Mike D'Antoni, and you just create a system that I believe in, and teach the things that I know on both ends of the floor. It works for me, you know, trying to go out and do some things. And I've worked with some great coaches, Coach Carl, and as I mentioned, Coach K, and I mean, just a number of great coaches. Trying to be those guys, can't do it. You know, I think you have to be yourself. When players see where you're coming from, they know where you're coming from, they tend to believe what you are trying to do and teach. And you know, so I've always tried to follow those words from those coaches.
I think it goes without saying, Nate, you've had an amazing basketball life. I always, always love getting caught up with you, chopping it up with you. Atlanta's playing great ball. They're in first place. Nate, I appreciate you, and I appreciate the relationship, and it's great to have you back on the show. Nate, thanks so much for doing that. That was great.
All right, Jim, thank you.
Nate McMillan. And I loved him as a player, loved talking to him as a head coach. He is the interim head coach of the Hawks, and they are playing good ball right now. And now you wait on Trae Young, and you find out his status. Good to get caught up with him. All right, let's take a short time out. Get you a bottom-of-the-hour sports update here at...
Live from Southern California... This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Once again, thanks to Nate McMillan. You can tell I appreciate that relationship a lot. Good to have him back. This weekend, CBS takes you to the next stop on the PGA Tour as some of the golf's biggest names roll into the Big Easy, competing at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Live coverage getting underway Saturday and Sunday, both at 3 Eastern and 12 Pacific on CBS. Speaking of the NFL, I've got an update. Well, she herself, the queen herself, is providing the update. I'm talking about at Nika989. She tweets... Jags sending me to the draft. Cleveland tenderonis, get ready. The queen is coming. War my Cleveland body count. Hold up, Alvy. That is an incredible tweet. That is an absolutely amazing tweet. One of my favorite tweets ever. Little background on this. After I reread the tweet... Jags sending me to the draft. Cleveland tenderonis, get ready. The queen is coming. War my Cleveland body count. I'm not kidding. That is one of my top five favorite tweets ever. It's that good. The queen is Danica, and she is an enormous Jags fan, and in fact is their fan of the year. And by virtue of her being their fan of the year, they're going to send her to the draft. Now, why is she talking about tenderonis and body counts and the queen? Because she once called this show and did this.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
Quote, Jags sending me to the draft. Cleveland tenderonis, get ready. The queen is coming. War my Cleveland body count. I'm telling you, referring to your own personal list of ruined tenderonis as a body count and referring to yourself in the third person as the queen is incredible. That is amazing. Nika, are you going to outline those tenderonis in chalk? You should. You should tape off your hotel room like a crime scene with yellow tape and chalk the tenderonis in the bed. So good. That is one of the greatest tweets ever. 1-800-636-8686. I'd hate to be the one to try to follow that. In fact, I'm not even sure I can follow that. All right, so in case you forgot, Nick Sirianni is the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And in case you forgot, he did not get off to the best start at his introductory presser. Remember, it went like this.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team, that we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn, all right? Complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
Like, to call that coach speak would be an insult to coaches. To call that a word salad would be an insult to both words and salad. That was like 40 seconds of pure, unadulterated, uncut gibberish. In fact, gibberish probably isn't even the word. What's the word I'm looking for? Bullcrap. Yeah, that's it. 40 seconds of bullcrap. It was the worst look at an introductory presser since Ben McAdoo showed up wearing a suit that was about 50 sizes too large. Hey, by the way, if you haven't Googled that image in a while, take a look. It's amazing. But I don't want to rush in and kill a coach for a bad opening presser. There have been a lot of guys who have won the presser and then never won jack after that. And then you've got a lot of guys who messed up the joint when they were introduced and then went on to become successful coaches. So why don't we check back in on Nick and see exactly how he's doing now? Why don't we find out how he's approaching the draft evaluation process? Yesterday, he met with the media and said that he's looking for guys who love football and guys who love to compete. That's something that he's always evaluating. So as part of the process, he's been playing games with draft prospects. You might be wondering, what kind of games? Well, let me let Nick answer that for himself. Before I do, though, you know how every year we hear about teams asking guys really weird questions? You know, the kind of idiotic stuff like, would you rather be a cat or a dog? Or what is the vegetable that most represents your personality? Or is your mother a prostitute? You remember that one, right? You would think that in an era of Zoom meetings, these weird moments would go away. Not with our legend Sirianni at the switch, they haven't.
And I'll tell you, I think some of you guys are wondering, like, what game? We didn't go earth-shattering on these games, right? I played a couple of them at Rock, Paper, Scissors, right? That was as easy as that. Rock, Paper, Scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be talking trash to them. Did you talk trash back to me, right?
Dude, you played Rock, Paper, Scissors with draft prospects over Zoom. That's part of your draft evaluation process. What, Duck Duck Goose didn't want any of that. You couldn't figure out a way to do musical chairs or hide and seek or capture the flag over Zoom. What are ways that we could evaluate a prospect? Let me think. I don't know. We could talk to them like adults, man to man. We could be professionals. Or we could play Red Rover in Cat's Cradle. We could look at his tape and have him break down plays, or we can just play marbles or jacks. I mean, that literally is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. And yet at the same time, as dumb as that is, like the dumbest thing I've ever heard, this guy could not be any more proud of it as he is. Did you hear how hyped up he was talking about that? This guy couldn't wait to bring it up. He was thinking, man, this is going to absolutely slay. They're going to forget about my introductory presser altogether. This is going to prove that I am, in fact, the smartest, hardest, toughest, most competitive guy in the room. This guy could not utter the phrase rock, paper, scissors enough in that one-minute clip. This guy would not stop talking about rock, paper, scissors. I've never seen anybody more hyped about anything than this dude is about playing rock, paper, scissors over Zoom.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
And it's not even that he wants to just talk about it or is hyped about it. He wants to talk trash while he's doing it. Man, can you imagine being a draft prospect and you're getting ready for this meeting with the Philadelphia Eagles and you got some kook wanting to play rock, paper, scissors with you? You got to be like, wait, man, who let that intern into the Zoom waiting room? I thought that I was going to be talking to the head coach. Well, that is the head coach. Yeah, I'm not sure I want to be drafted by a head coach who's this into rock, paper, scissors. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me. I don't think the hoodie is playing rock, paper, scissors with his draft prospects.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
It's a good thing these dudes are online, or else my guy would be playing Thumb Wars and trying to arm wrestle guys to draft evaluate them. If I'm Howie Roseman and I'm sitting up there and I see my new head coach getting that fired up in front of the media about rock, paper, scissors, I'm going to start my own personal fire Howie chant to get the hell out of there. But that's not all this guy was talking about. He wasn't just doing that rock, paper, scissors thing. He also had some thoughts on the Eagles' quarterback situation, and namely that he will not be naming Jalen Hurts the starter. Not yet, he won't.
To name any starters at this particular time, we've been working with these guys for 2 days, right? We've been working with these guys for 2 days. My biggest thing is competition.
And you want to know why? It's because he really, really likes competition.
Again, we've talked a little bit about my core values. It's my second core value. It's this team's second core value. Competition's a huge thing, and we're going to have competition at every position.
His first core value is rock, paper, scissors. His second core value is Red Rover, can Jalen come over?
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
Listen to this cat, man. My man's just free-flowing and acting like he's just slaying. Like he's just owning the room.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see
how competitive. Oh, no, but no, Jalen Hurts. No. He doesn't get the job yet. Not until he's proven that he's competitive. Not until Jalen starts kicking everybody's ass in rock, paper, scissors on the regular does he get anywhere near under center. Besides, why eliminate a controversy when you can actually start one? Why name the young guy the starter when you can insult him by putting him into an unnecessary quarterback competition? I mean, you could just name Jalen Hurts the starting quarterback, or you can make him compete with, wait for it, a little longer, Joe Flacco. Hell yes. Having a quarterback competition between Hurts and Flacco is an elite idea. What a competitive notion that is. And you know Flacco's fired up. My man has not been that jacked since he talked about running onto the field to tackle a guy during kickoff in a Super Bowl.
Hey, if he breaks it, if he busts this for some reason, tackle him. Go tackle him. I don't know what the rule is on that, but I will.
Can't you just imagine on draft night the cameras going to go live into the Eagles war room, and my man Nick is going to have all the scouts playing Simon Says. Simon Says. Hey, yo, who we taking here? Don't worry about that. Red light, green light. Hey, who should we take in this spot? I don't know. Let's play Heads Up, 7-Up. Hey, jump out into the pool on that. And then once you do, play Marco Polo. Music stopped. Find a chair. Dude, are you kidding me? I was on that chair. That's mine. Wow, bro. Good luck with that. Tom Allen joins me when we come back.